Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. That one almost made me pass out. Wasn't prepared for that one. Welcome back in. So what a night yesterday with the State of the Union. We had a fun time talking about it here on the show. And that leads us into the day after the State of the Union, and no one's talking about it. I can go around and the news networks are just focusing on what did Trump mean by everyone's a dreamer. You know, they're not mentioning anything else or any of the great stories or the people that were highlighted there. But big news that happened earlier today. Real sad news. Two things, actually. But train carrying members of Congress hits a truck. And I was shocked to see that this morning. I sleep in. In fact, I had a meeting with someone that, you know, we went to a coffee, get a coffee, sit down and talk. So I didn't actually see it until a little bit later in the afternoon. And I was just like, wow. The timing and everything on there. So CNN and everyone else reporting a train carrying dozens of Republican members. As you know now, including House Speaker Paul Ryan, were on a way to their retreat in West Virginia. They hit a truck, leaving at least one person dead. And I think it was the person that was driving the truck. That's scary. And that's sad. And apparently everyone inside the train was okay. You got some bumps and bruises, things like that. But the person driving the truck, not so much. Amtrak said in a statement that the train came into contact with the vehicle that was on the tracks at about 11:20 Eastern. So it would have been about 10:20 our time. Outside of Charlottesville, Republican members of Congress were on the train, which left Washington Union Station, were on their way to the retreat in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. The retreat started Wednesday and ends on Friday. They're still going to do that. And I think other guests were going to be there, including President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence. Just scary altogether. Here is some audio of someone that was there, someone that was on the train, Mike Bost.
We had been about two hours out of Boosie. Headed towards a place in West Virginia, when we felt an impact on the train. It felt, the best way I can describe it is that we didn't know whether it was a large animal, but then instantly I looked out my window, saw we passed an intersection where dust was still flying, and another vehicle had pulled up to the guardrail or to the rail that was down. The safety rail was down, but instantly looking back out to the other side of the train, there was a what you could tell was a large upper half of a garbage truck had been ripped away, and instantly, you know, we realized that we had hit a vehicle at an intersection. We had several doctors and a member of Congress. They made a rush to the back of the plane, or back of the train, to get off to check on the accident scene. Where they got and found out that one of the people, the three-man crew, was deceased. Another one had serious head trauma. The other one was out and walking around. Then instantly, because we were being followed by security and everything, that helicopters were in. A trauma helicopter was called very, very quickly, and so were emergency service personnel.
Just sad. That's really sad. How many times do you see that where people tried to beat the train, and you're thinking to yourself, no, never do that, ever. If the guard rails are down, just it's not worth it. As frustrated, you can be super frustrated, and you can sit there and think, great, I'm going to be here 20 minutes waiting for this train. I want you to think about the alternative. I want you to think about the alternative of risking your life. Is it worth it for that 20 minutes? And that's sad, and that's really sad. Earlier, too, I saw the report that really shocked me is Trey Gowdy is not going to seek re-election. He's finally had it with Washington, was the headline out of Politico. He's my favorite. He's my absolute favorite politician, and he is leaving. Trey Gowdy, I'm number one fan. I was very shocked to see that, too. House Oversight Committee chairman for years, has joked privately about quitting Congress and returning home to South Carolina, and he finally pulled the plug. He said he's not going to seek re-election. I'm so sad about these things. And obviously, it brings out the worst in people when there's such a divisive time that we live in today. Jokers like Jonathan Tessini, who is a CNN contributor or talking head or whatever you want to call him. He wrote a book about Bernie Sanders. He was a surrogate for Bernie Sanders. Obviously, he used this as the opportunity to get his message out there. Let me read what he put out for the world. Wow, between train full of goopers hitting truck in this, referring to Trey Gowdy, God is working hard today to clean the stink. Thank her. Hashtag Trey Gowdy, hashtag GOP train wreck. Real classy. Unfortunately, there's more people like him out there than you realize. And this is a surrogate for Bernie Sanders. I could imagine even Bernie Sanders would shake his head when he saw something like that and say, that's disgusting. That's shameful. And we don't want to associate ourselves with knuckleheads like this. Jonathan Tessini. If you want to see that tweet, he's deleted it, but I posted a photo of it on my Twitter page, at Ryan Recker. Bernie Sanders surrogate, huh? Yikes. Coming up, I want to get to a few other things. You see Governor Greitens' defense for deleting his text app? Well, I want to talk about that because that seems a little far-fetched. Also, in the state of Missouri, Josh, listen, we have some different candidates that are going to be stepping up to take on the current senator that's up for re-election. And what's going to happen there is a Democrat seat. We want to see a Republican in there, right? I do, at least. But you got to make sure it's the right person. How do we know we're getting the right person in there? And unfortunately, when there's things like this that come out, yesterday or 2 days ago, we talked about the one candidate that talked about how he structures his family, whatever. Now we get the latest here, where apparently there's comments about the sexual revolution going out. I got a couple of things I want to say about this and see if you even care. I don't know. This is Overnight America, Camo X.
Ryan Recker. Overnight America. The two best things in your night on Camo X.
Welcome back to Overnight America. You know, what a night, what a crazy day. That the train incident from earlier, you have Trey Gowdy, the greatest politician in the history of America, saying he's not going to seek re-election. Then this comes out. This comes out. So what we're trying to pay attention to is the Senate race here in Missouri. And it's going to heat up. I mean, a lot of people are anticipating Missouri. This is going to be one of those heavily contested areas. You have Claire McCaskill, who's raised a lot of money, could put up a real big fight as she's the incumbent. You're going to have some Republicans that are going to be getting in there. You may even have some independents trying to get in there. And they're not going to give up easy. They're going to be putting a big fight in. One of the leading contenders to at least represent the Republicans is Josh Hawley, who's going to be someone that is a force to be reckoned with because he's got pretty good name recognition. I think he can do fine. And this story comes out in the Kansas City Star earlier today. And I'm just going to read the first line because I was not impressed with the way the Post-Dispatch handled this story because there's definitely better ways to handle it. But I'm just going to read the first line of this article. A week after one Republican U.S. Senate candidate from Missouri called feminists career-obsessed banshees with snake-filled heads, audio has emerged of another one blaming modern sex trafficking on the sexual revolution. The cultural movement a half a century ago that ushered in accessible birth control, divorce law reforms, and other advances for women. So just let's analyze why they decided to use this as their lead. Number one, how is referring to what someone said earlier, a completely different person running as probably a competitor to this person, why is that related? It's not. It's actually totally unrelated to this story from the Kansas City Star. And why is it in the lead? Why would they put it in the lead? Why would they want to associate those two things? You know, you got to ask those questions. So I'm a little disappointed in the Post-Dispatch for putting this right up front. So what was said? What did Josh Hawley say? So here's a couple of quotes that were obtained by the Kansas City Star with some audio. You know what I'm talking about. The 1960s, 70s, it became commonplace in our culture, among our cultural elites, Hollywood, and the media, to talk about the biblical truth about husband and wife, man and woman. He's Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley said during a speech to pastors in Kansas City in December, we're living now with the terrible after effects of this so-called revolution, which was, in fact, I think, a great step back, Hawley said in the audio. And one of them is, one of those effects is a crisis in our country that goes by the name of human trafficking. And elsewhere in the audio, Hawley says, and I haven't listened to the full bit of the speech, I've just seen some of the excerpts that came out. But it's very easy to say he's talking to pastors. You have to put that into consideration because that puts it in a different context. You know, this isn't something where he's going out and campaigning and saying, you know, this is my number one priority for the people in the state of Missouri. It's going to be talking about the sexual revolution from the 60s. No, he's talking to pastors. And, you know, I take very similar stances to what they're saying here because I talk about Hollywood. I talk about the messages of Hollywood. I also talk about the moral decline of Hollywood, how you should never adopt the messages of Hollywood and always be skeptical of that because they don't have your best interest in heart. And, you know, it didn't just start this year. It didn't start last year. It started a long time ago. In fact, you can probably track it back to the 60s and 70s. So here's some more audio from Josh Hawley. Quote, people are willing to purchase women, young women, and treat them like commodities. There is a market for it. Why is there? Because our culture has completely lost its way. The sexual revolution has led to exploitation of women on a scale that we would never have imagined. So when I hear a quote or I read a quote like that, it's apparently said at a group meeting called Pastors in Pews. It was hosted by the Missouri Renewal Project. This is a big problem, not just in churches, but in our culture. You want to talk about how we do the hashtag Me Too, and everyone's talking about it today? When we talk about the way women are treated in the workplace or in Hollywood, how we saw even in Michigan with this trainer and the gymnast, it's a widespread deal. And politicians, they're not excluded from this too. It's a wide-reaching problem. And you can say to yourself, okay, why? Why are we at that point? There's one or two things. One, you can go back and say either some of these accounts are false and a lot of these accounts are true, or you can look at them on a case-by-case basis, which you should. But we should also take into consideration the way the culture, and especially Hollywood, has led us to this point. And everything's sexualized and everything is, you know, you look at an ad, you know, it's basically you can't even watch television anymore with your kid because half the ads are, you know, you got to cover their eyes on most of the stuff. Or look at a magazine, perhaps, or even billboards, just advertising in general, even during sports games, you know, beer advertising. And you know, think about what you would typically see during those things. And it's a big difference between what you would, like, let's say, welcome into your home regularly. Like, let's say you had guests in your home with kids. Would you let them talk that way? Would you let them dress that way? Would you let them go out there and act that way in front of your kids? And if the answer is no, you need to ask, then why are they marketing to us that way? And if the reason is because it gets you to buy a product, then it's very likely that they're going to continue to try to push the line back. And that's exactly what Hollywood's done over the years. I don't know if this is the point he was trying to make. All I know is when you're talking to a group, and especially pastors in a church, this is something the church struggles with constantly. You know, especially if you're for modesty and you're against sexualizing everything, because it is dangerous for a society to sexualize everything. And if you're talking to pastors, this is a big concern in their church. Now, you got to take into consideration who he's talking to and the context of why he's saying it. Maybe you're listening to this and you disagree and you say, you know, do whatever you want. It's advertising. They can continue to push this in Hollywood. You just separate yourself from it, which, by the way, is probably a good solution. Just separate yourself from the messages you disagree with, as in, I'm talking about Hollywood movies and things like that. So the winner of the August Republican primary will likely face Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill. I don't think comments like this will hurt him long term. I really don't. but he released a statement when asked for a comment, issued a statement reinforcing his original speech. He said, let's get serious. Sex trafficking is driven by male demand and subjecting of women. Spokesperson Kelly Ford said in a statement, in the 1960s and 70s, it became okay for Hollywood and the media to treat women as objects for male gratification. And that demeaning view of women has helped fuel harassment, inequality, and yes, sex trafficking. So the statement had added, as Josh often says, to end sex trafficking, it's not enough to put the criminals behind bars. You have to change the culture of male exploitation of women. So what do you think about those comments? Do you hear that? You think it's out of line? You know, you have to take into consideration the company he's with and the seriousness and the nature of it, especially when you're talking about faith and trying to combat this on a faith issue. Think about when you go to church and think of all the different messages your kids are subjected to. Constantly, you're trying to set them on the right path, and it seems like they're always being pushed back by messages that are contrary to family values and what you would want them to grow up when it comes to morality. And it all circles back to everything I've always believed. Don't adopt the messages of Hollywood, period. They're not there for your best interest. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. You know, I feel like I'm getting all moral or... But you know what? This is a big thing for me. I mean, it's something that I'll think myself as a parent. I start thinking about what it was like for me growing up and what it's like now. All the different things that are accessible to kids, the things and the problems they can get into with the internet. They can think they're doing something anonymously. People reach out to them and the predators and everything. The world has changed. And, you know, it started somewhere. The sexual revolution, here's another quote from the article in the Post-Dispatch. The sexual revolution overlapped with elements, laid the way for Roe versus Wade, controversial Supreme Court ruling that legalized abortion. Many people in today's same-sex marriage debate, both supporters and critics of the movement, recent breakthroughs believe it is another of the sexual revolution's legacies. So a lot of things that spurred from those moments. But, you know, I'd like to go even further and say that once you become more comfortable and you just, everyone tries to make this slippery slope, like, you know, it'll never get to that point. Well, look where it's at. It's absolutely gotten worse than it has in the 60s and 70s, and it continues to get worse. Is there any indication it's going to get any better if you don't stop it in your own home? But what I'm most disappointed about all of this, because you can read these comments and you can agree or disagree with them. You can look at it and say, okay, yeah, I kind of see what he's saying, but there's a lot you can look to. But the biggest disappointment for me is that first sentence in this article, a week after one Republican U.S. Senate candidate from Missouri called feminist career-obsessed banshees, audio has emerged from another one blaming modern sex trafficking to the sexual revolution. Either way, it's all a disappointment. So I don't know if this will hurt him long-term. I don't think it will, but I think we can agree that, it started somewhere, maybe not sex trafficking, but the messages, everything you said leading up to that part. You know, we're living in a terrible after effects of this so-called revolution and everything that came in after. I guess you can agree if it started there or not, but probably. A couple other things I want to get to. Banning this app, does it violate free speech? Now, the governor has been accused of keeping this app on his cell phone that deletes messages. Now, is he supposed to keep these things? Is he legally obligated to keep messages that come his way? He's fighting back. He's fighting back and he's saying, you know what? Don't violate my free speech rights. I'm allowed to delete whatever I want. It's an interesting argument. We're going to talk about that coming up. But you can find that story at KMOX.com. You can text the show too, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
When news breaks out, KMOX breaks in. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. Depend on it.
You heard earlier tonight the Cardinals revealing 7 players nominated for possible induction into the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame. Wow. Yeah, I have been waiting to hear how Chris Raby did at the fantasy camp. Do you think one day he'll make the Cardinals Hall of Fame? Is there a possibility? Maybe. When is Raby back? Do we know? I want to see him do the Cardinals Hall of Fame. Is he in studio tomorrow? Because he was broadcasting today. He was down by the stadium, wasn't he? Yeah, he was down there for this big announcement. Here's who the fans will get to vote on. when it becomes the next induction for the Cardinals Hall of Fame, which will happen. So March 1st is when you can cast your ballot at cardinals.com/HOF. So Hall of Fame. Two players with the most fan votes after voting concludes on April 12th will be selected for induction this August in the Cardinals Hall of Fame, which I saw Tom Ackerman's one of the voting members of that, which is kind of cool. All right, so here's the players. If you want to text in, who are the two you'd vote for? So let me give you all the Cardinals players. Vince Coleman from 1985 to 1990, stealing 110 bases as a rookie. That's a huge number. Keith Hernandez with the team from 74 to 83, played 10 seasons with the Cardinals, winning six straight gold gloves at first base. Not bad. Now, remember, I grew up outside Detroit, so I watched the Tigers. I'm not a huge baseball fan. But is this the same Keith Hernandez, Mike Anderson, that was on Seinfeld? It's the same one? He had a great mustache. I'm envious of anyone that can put a mustache on his upper lip that could look like that. I mean, it's glorious. I've always tried to grow facial hair, and it doesn't look right. Like, you know, I can get stubble, and I think the stubble looks fine, but I don't have enough to do a thick mustache. Like, he had a nice one. To me, it just doesn't look right. I used to grow a beard, and one time I grew a beard when I was in high school. It was gross, so never again. Here's a couple, another one. Izzy, I hear that's going to be a nice one. Jason Isringhausen. I'll tell you that 2002 to 2008, a lot of saves there, 217 saves. He spent seven seasons with the Cardinals during that time with the team. He won the Central Division in 2002, 4, 5, and 6, with World Series appearances in 04 and 6. Ray Lankford and Scott Rowland, Lee Smith, you give me that look. There's a lot of them. I want you to tell me who you think. Lankford. Scott Rowland, Lee Smith, John Tudor, Cardinals Hall of Fame. Who are the two you would pick? Like, if you had to pick two out of that batch. Just text me. Let me know. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It's kind of like pre-voting. I know some of you want to vote early, but you can't. Mike Anderson, our producer, who's the two you would vote for there? Like, if you're going to go cast your ballot for any two right now on the list, like, who are your top two?
I really couldn't tell you. I'd have to dig into it more. They're all so good.
You're too analytical. You don't have, like, a knee-jerk reaction for two?
Nope.
Not even, no. You can't do it.
Nope.
You're going to sit down and crunch the numbers. You're going to open up a spreadsheet. You're going to do the pros and cons list. You need to be very official. Are you going to go at first day of voting? You're going to be online logging in with all of your analysis. Are you going to put schematics and graphs on the wall as you study them up until the ballot's open to make sure you make the right decision?
There's going to be little pins with string attached.
Yeah, red string.
All over my wall.
Lots of conspiracies.
Yep.
You're going to do a lot of background. You're going to look back into all of their interviews. Who is the most worthy for producer Mike's vote?
Basically, whoever was nicest to the media gets my vote, right?
Well, that's all it takes.
Right.
Whoever's nicest to you. So you could be bribed. There's no laws against bribing people for votes, right?
Yeah. I take Redbird Club tickets.
That's all it takes?
That's all it takes.
Okay. So there's a lot of great people here. The fifth Cardinals Hall of Fame induction class will be announced May 4th during a televised 30-minute Hall of Fame announcement special on Fox Sports Midwest. Also a pregame ceremony at Busch Stadium before the Cardinals when they face the Cubs August 18th. That's when the actual ceremony will take place during the 2018 Hall of Fame induction weekend. Pretty big deal. I would like to do some analysis myself. I'll take a look. I don't feel like I'm educated enough considering I just moved into the area. And I got a lot of research to do to figure out the best Cardinals. But who do you think? Who are your two? If you can only pick two. 314-436-7900. And I heard Raby earlier talking about how it's just an honor to get named there. What a cool thing that is that the Cardinals put that together. I wanted to bring up something else from earlier today on KMOX.com. Governor Greitens' attorneys say ordering the governor and his staff to stop using an app that erases text messages would violate free speech rights. What? I don't understand this. This is confusing to me. Kansas City Star also reporting that Greitens and some of his staff use an app that was called Confide that deletes text messages and prevents them from being saved. I don't know exactly how this app works, but I know that it's very secretive. I know that it doesn't keep it and store it. I mean, I think it's all stored on their servers. So when someone messages you or you message someone through them, It makes it so it's nearly impossible to keep it or retain it on your phone. Two St. Louis attorneys sued, contending that the use of the app violates Missouri's open records laws by making it impossible to know if the governor and his staff use their personal phones for state business. They are seeking a temporary injunction to stop the governor and his staff from using the app. It's weird, isn't it? I mean, tell me it's not just a little weird and suspicious. And I'm kind of surprised. I thought that the governor could have done something, you know, he could have said, you know, I understand I'm not doing anything inappropriate here. So just for pure transparency reasons and to make sure there is no misunderstanding when it comes to anything inappropriate, I'm just going to not use that app anymore and we'll be done. But unfortunately, he's fighting back. You know, I don't know if this is a good thing for the governor to do. He's got a lot of heat right now. He's got the whole extramarital affair thing going. That's not going to go away. People aren't going to forget that next time he comes up for re-election, if he runs for re-election. Now, if there's going to be a big fight about transparency in the governor's seat, I mean, there's a lot that he's going to have against him if he's running up for re-election in 3 years. There's a lot, which we're going to guess he will. So Greitens' attorney argues in a brief that the injunction would violate free speech rights from preventing him and his staff from using Confide to send personal message, a violation of free speech. See, I don't get that. Yeah, to me, I think about free speech and what is protected under free speech. Now, I also understand that you have to keep these messages. State law and Missouri's open records law wants you to preserve these things if they're used by the state. Now, I understand that if you're just text messaging family members or your wife or your kids or things like that, you know, all of that doesn't need to be turned over. But now we're running on the same problem that Hillary Clinton had with the server. I mean, it's getting really close to that, which was, oh, you don't need to hear about my daughter's wedding plans. So what we're going to do is just delete everything, you know, and the laws were set for her, too. And that was very concerning. I just don't understand why the governor is using this defense. I think it's a poor defense to come up on. Are you concerned with this? To me, I just wish the governor would just say, I'm done using it, you know, because you got to have something. You can't have too many things thrown your way before you're killing your chances of reelection. I mean, you can't just constantly be at odds with everyone. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I'd like to hear your take on that. Does that concern you a little bit? I think there's supposed to be some sort of hearing on Friday. From what I understand, there may be something that's going on Friday morning. We'll get a little bit more information on this or if this defense will even be accepted, or we'll see if this comes up as in courts or if there will be a legal battle over this. CamoX.com is where you can get that. All right, so Trey Gowdy finally calling it quits in Washington. I'm very disappointed about that, which I want to get to coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
Hey, guys, it's Alex.
And Amy.
And the Blues are headed into the stretch run of the season.
Do you hear that, Alex?
What?
It's the playoffs.
No, it's not.
And Wendy's Week in Hockey is your one-stop shop for the Blues, the NHL.
You know, the hockey milieu.
What the heck is milieu?
It's French. A lot of hockey players speak French.
Okay, that's 2 seconds of my life I'll never have back here.
Weekly player interviews, insiders from around the league, and even the fans' perspective.
It's Wendy's Week in Hockey every Monday night from 7 to 9 on your home for the best Blues coverage, KMOX.
Sad day for me. I gotta say, I'm very heartbroken to read the statement from Trey Gowdy from earlier today that he is not going to be seeking re-election and he is going to be backing down. He is going to be leaving it all behind. He was my favorite. He was my favorite. He was one of those guys that when he would do a line of questioning or he would try to lay an argument out that would get other people to help understand a situation, he was the type of person that I would grab my wife and say, honey, you need to listen to him. You need to listen to what he's saying. Listen to this guy. Trey Gowdy is the man. Now, unfortunately, since I am a card-carrying Trey Gowdy fan club member, this was particularly devastating to me reading, and Politico had a pretty good headline for it. Gowdy finally had it with Washington. The House Oversight Committee chairman for years has joked privately about quitting Congress and returning home to South Carolina. On Wednesday, he finally pulled the plug, likely for good. I understand when you're in the public eye, and especially at a high level and a high ranking level like he is, you're going to see a lot of criticism, and you're going to see a lot of people always giving you a hard time, always harassing you on social media or in public or whatever it may be. You're going to find people bringing up false allegations against you just because when you get to that high level, that's what happens. And so many people have had to bow out because of that. This is totally unrelated to all these things. He's just saying, I'm tired with the way politics are in general today. Tired. And who can blame him? Look at the way everything's divisive. We can't agree on anything. President Trump lays out a State of the Union, lays out some actually really good stories, some encouraging stories, some hopeful stories of our future. And we can't even get most or any Democrats to stand up, you know? You look at the way that's it's, you know, you're so anti anything that you won't even listen and you won't even find things you agree on or any common grounds of what's going on. You know, why is it that in a world that we live in today where we always say we got to reach across the aisle, we need to talk to the people on the other side of the aisle, we need to find compromises. Why is it that we say that, but we force ourselves to get even further apart from each other? It's all we do. We go further, further apart. As in to say, as opposed to finding compromise, that's a novel idea. Compromise isn't the goal. Getting what we want is the goal. Or not even that at some point. Making you lose is the goal. We don't want you to have what you want. That's the goal. They called him a rising star. I thought he was a star already. I mean, I think calling him a rising star is diminishing his effect that he's had in politics. The rising star that many Republicans once considered a dark horse for Speaker of the House, Gowdy announced Wednesday that he would not seek re-election or any political office and would instead return to the justice system. I don't think he ever lost as a prosecutor. I think that was one of his bragging points, was he never lost a case. This is what he said, quote, "Whatever skills I may have are better utilized in a courtroom than in Congress, and I enjoy our justice system more than our political system," South Carolina Republican said. In a sign of Gowdy's desire to step back from public life, he recently turned down a golden opportunity to become a federal judge. Apparently, Don McGahn in recent weeks approached Gowdy, a former federal prosecutor, about filling a slot with the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, a newly vacant judgeship that Gowdy had eyed before. I don't think that's an option. Maybe it is. Maybe they'll look at him for other future federal judge or appeals courts. I just think he's the greatest, and it really does. It shocked me. When I read this, I mean, I literally screamed. I said, no! It was like yelling out loud. It was a moment of agony, because I am telling you that he was, to me, the best. The best. Gowdy, who's long complained about the increasingly toxic nature of politics, turned down the position of that federal judge. "There's more civility in a death penalty case," he said, "than there is in some congressional hearings." Gowdy will become the eighth current chairman of the Department Congress, or Gowdy will become the eighth current chairman to depart Congress, but his decision is an extra blow to Speaker Paul Ryan, who often seeks Gowdy's counsel on legal matters, which he probably should. The guy is incredibly smart, well-talented. To anyone who knew the 53-year-old, he said, who was the former House Benghazi Committee chairman, the retirement is hardly a surprise. Gowdy rarely participated in House GOP events, rarely attended the weekly GOP conference, for example. He often talked privately about resenting the increasing partisanship and the atmosphere of what was going on in Congress. I seriously don't know how you can blame him for those things. You always know that person that just doesn't want to participate. You know, sometimes it's a struggle. You don't want to, you know, you want to do your job, but you don't want to have to do all the politics for your job. Unfortunately for him, his job is politics. But it didn't matter. He was someone that was based in principle. That's how I always saw him. I'm going to miss him. I mean, it's going to be a shame. I know there's going to be things that will bring him to public light. I'm sure when his name comes up in the news for whatever reason, I'll get a Google alert. I'm going to just sign up for Google alerts every time there's an article on Trey Gowdy. He found himself butting heads in recent months with the intelligence chairman, Devin Nunes, and other pro-Trump Republicans who have hinted at corruption in the FBI. He was someone that, when talking about corruption, he said, I'm someone that's always defended you for years and years and years. We have a rule of law. We have a court system. We have, I think, something we keep in reverence, which is the FBI and the CIA. But unfortunately, you're making it very difficult to defend when there's a lot of shadiness that's going on and unexplained things and inappropriate actions going on with the people behind the scenes. And when you are someone that investigates and says that, and you're a big-time supporter, you know that there's some problems. He expressed concerns about anti-Trump text by some FBI officials, and he has said on TV that Congress has a duty to oversee the agency. His exit will likely open up a race for the oversight gavel. Jordan was a long eye in the spot. Jim Jordan, who's from Ohio, which I do like Jim Jordan, he is someone that's not afraid to go on to like MSNBC or CNN and talk to them. He's like a constant guest, and he's not afraid to bring up an argument and defend the argument and the people there, which I kind of like that. I like that he doesn't hide. Every once in a while, I'll see Trey Gowdy pop up on Fox News, but, you know, he'll do these interviews here and there. But there is one name that they're talking about down there. Apparently, there's a radio show host in South Carolina that posted on Facebook that he was exploring a run. I don't like this running for politics stuff. Radio show host running for politics. I'm going to give you a little lesson when it comes to radio or television personalities running for an office. It is the nightmare that radio stations and television stations have to deal with based on FCC laws when it comes to this sort of thing. You know, without getting too technical on how this works. So I don't know if you, Mike Anderson, do you know the FCC regulations for someone running for office? Did you understand that how things have to be kept equal and the amount of time that they're brought up onto a radio station? Not a lot of people know this, but it's a giant headache. And any manager of a radio station who even hears about one of their people on staff that wants to run for office instantly gets afraid and they says, "Ugh, we can't do this. I'm going to have to take them off the air." So they got this thing where there's a request that the candidate's opponent can make in order to get equal time based on what was put up on a radio station or a television station for that matter. So if you're talking about someone for like in the news, doesn't apply because it's a newsworthy event, right? That's worthy of playing a clip or a soundbite of a person. But if you are playing it like on a radio program like this, like let's say someone was running for office and I am interviewing the person and they are on the air for 15 minutes. Now, you don't necessarily have to bring on the person's opponent for fairness, but the person's opponent, if they hear the interview, can request equal amount of time on the air, and they can do with it however they like. And that's why when you're a radio show personality, imagine if I decided to run for office. Like I said, I want to be the next senator. I'm going to make a run for this thing. Claire McCaskill, here I come. Now, let's say I did that. I'm on 4 hours a night, 5 hours a night on this radio station. And let's say whoever my opponent is, in the primaries, it would be other Republicans. Let's say I got the nomination. Then when the general election came around, my opponent would be Claire McCaskill. Imagine if every time I'm on the air, Claire McCaskill or whoever that I would be running up against could be able to request 4 hours of time on this radio station. The station couldn't do anything about it. So you know what happens? I would have to, like, go on a hiatus, and it's the reason why when Donald Trump ran for president, why they couldn't air Celebrity Apprentice with him on it. You want to know why? Because when he was a candidate and he was fighting other Republicans for the seat, they would have to offer equal time to the other ones. When he was running up against Hillary Clinton, they would have to, if she requested it, would have to offer up equal time for that. So it's the same thing on television. Like, let's say the weather guy, let's say the person goes up and, you know, KMOV, and they get out there and Templeton runs for office. Every time he's doing a weathercast, even though it has nothing to do with politics, if he's going up there and he's on the television for 3 minutes, his opponent would be able to request 3 minutes. It doesn't matter what it says. It's just the person being on the air that triggers the equal time if the person he's running up against or she's running up against requested. So it's a giant mess. Anytime a radio station or someone wants to talk about doing politics, I think to myself, oh, just stay out of it. Don't do this. Not worth it. You're giving your radio station or your television station, you would vote for Templeton, just give them headaches is what you're doing. Be terrible. That's my advice. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.